Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good, good. We have for the past few weeks talked about prayer. And everyone seems to really enjoy the study on prayer. But what is prayer without fasting? I know sometimes when you talk about fasting, people say, well, I broke my fast this morning when I woke up and had breakfast. But I want to talk about fasting. It's something that we hear about a lot these days, intermittent fasting. That seems to be something that many individuals are involving themselves in. But fasting, and this morning I want to talk about fasting in the Old Testament. Fasting is something that I think about doing on Sunday mornings in between my sermon and then going to the potluck. that's fasting. That's what fasting is for us sometimes. But let's look at occasions of fasting in the New Testament. Fasting in the Old Testament. So the Day of Atonement was a day in which fasting happened. We look over in our Old Testament in Leviticus chapter 16, beginning at verse 29. Leviticus chapter 16. Looking at verse 29. When I say the word fasting, I think everyone has that definition in their minds already what fasting is. It's voluntarily not eating. For a purpose. So that's what fasting is. Leviticus chapter 16, beginning at verse 29 through 31. It says, "And this shall be a permanent statute for you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall humble your souls and not do any work, whether the native or the alien who sojourns among you. For it is on this day that atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you. You shall be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is to be a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, that you may humble your souls. It is a permanent statute." And so this was the only fast that was commanded by the law, or the law of Moses, as many of us observe or think about it. And it was to be observed on the 10th day of the seventh month. Though not called fasting, the phrase "afflicting one's soul" was understood to refer to fasting. If we look over at Psalm 69:10, there's a usage of the word "chasten my soul with fasting." So let's look at Psalm 69:10, if you will. Psalm 69:10. But in the New American Standard, it says fasting. But Psalm 69:10, it says, "When I wept in my soul with fasting, it became my reproach." So the use of the phrase "afflicted one's soul" to refer to fasting suggests a purpose for fasting. There was a purpose for fasting. And that purpose was to have an effect on the soul, not particularly the body. It wasn't a weight loss thing. It wasn't something to reset your metabolism. It had a purpose of getting your soul in line with God, focusing on God. The goal of such affliction or chastening, we're going to notice here in this section. Other fasts in the Old Testament. People often fasted without specific commandment in time of distress. Some were communal affairs, while others were acts of private, individual purposes. They fasted in war or at the threat of it. We can look over at Judges chapter 20, verse 26. This was the encounter with the Benjamites. All of Israel was fighting the Benjamites at this time. But Judges chapter 20 and verse 26. Here it says, Then all the sons of Israel and all the people went up and came to Bethel and wept. Thus they remained there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. So it was something that they did as a whole group of people. It's just like many of my friends that are in different churches, they usually start off with fasting in the month of January. I start off with prayer. I start off with prayers because I think we need to talk to the one that owns all the resources, the one that provides for us. That's why I started off with prayer. And I thought fasting might be something that we start secondly because it's important to talk to God first. But if we learn how to pray, then we can start working on something like fasting, because fasting can be challenging. How many people fasted last week? You don't have to raise your hand. Oh, somebody did raise their hand. Okay, that's all right. But sometimes we do fast. But praying, I think, is the most important thing that we should involve ourselves in. And then fasting should be something that we should consider thinking about as Christians. They fasted when loved ones were sick. We have the occasion where King David was fasting because his son was ill. Over in 2 Samuel chapter 12, let's turn our Bibles there. We'll look at verses 16 through 23. 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12, looking at verses 16 through 23. Second Samuel chapter 12, looking at verses 16 through 23. It says, David therefore inquired of God for the child, and David fasted and went and lay all night on the ground. And the elders of his household stood beside him in order to raise him up from the ground. But he was unwilling and would not eat food with them. Then it happened on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, "Behold, while the child was still alive, we spoke to him and he did not listen to our voice. How then can we tell him that the child is dead, since he might do himself harm?" But when David saw that his servants were whispering together, David perceived that the child was dead. So David said to his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." So David arose from the ground, washed, anointed himself, and changed his clothes, and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he came to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate. Then his servant said to him, "What is this thing that you have done? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept. But when the child died, you arose and ate food." And he said, "While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, 'Who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me, that the child may live. But now he has died. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me.'" That's a whole sermon there, isn't it? It's so much there in this particular section, but there are different reasons why people fast. And that's the whole purpose of mentioning these different instances where people were fasting. There's different purposes for fasting. Another section of scripture that deals with fasting, we can go back to Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 15 through 18. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9, looking at verses 15 through 18. Talking about fasting in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 9, looking at verses 15 through 18, he says, "So I turned and came down from the mountain while the mountain was burning with fire, and the two tablets of the covenant were in my two hands. And I saw that you had indeed sinned against the Lord your God. You had made for yourselves a molten calf and had turned aside quickly from the way which the Lord had commanded you. And I took hold of the two tablets and threw them from my hands and smashed them before your eyes. And I fell down before the Lord as at the first 40 days and nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all your sin which you had committed in doing what was evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. So here we have the leader of God's people, the one that brought them out of the land of Egypt. And he's up on the mountain and he receives the Ten Commandments. And he comes down to the people. They had rose up to play, if you continue to read Exodus. They came out, they were playing. They were disrespecting God. Aaron had made a golden image. And the people were worshiping that image. And they were saying, behold, the God that brought us out of the land of Egypt. And when you're disappointed in people spiritually, you might throw something like Moses did. You might get upset because you think about all that God had shown the people. He had defeated Egypt in a mighty way. God had opened the sea for the people of Israel, and they walked across on muddy land, dry land. I'm just saying, I don't know why Moses was upset, except that the people were sinning against a God that had provided for them so well. It provoked him to fast. I just want to bring up fasting because there's different reasons why people fast. In this particular case, Moses was fasting for the people of Israel for 40 days. He really loved those people, did he not? We may fast for our children because we know that our children face a lot of challenges in their lives when they go off to school. Whether we send them to a Christian school, whether they're homeschool, because they're on the internet. There's all types of things on the internet. We're praying, but we also should probably be fasting because we know that our children are being exposed to the challenges that we face as children. The challenges have changed a little bit, but the Bible says there is nothing new under the sun, is there? Satan keeps bringing out that same playbook. And for some reason, we keep on falling short of the glory of God. And so we should fast for our children, just like Moses fasted for the children of Israel. I don't know exactly the number of people. People have given many different numbers, but it was a great host of people. And all of them were involved in sin as Moses was descending off of that mountain. And it made Moses decide to fast. Another occasion that we can look at for fasting is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3. Another occasion for fasting. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3. It says, and Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. He was afraid. So sometimes fear might provoke you to fast and to turn towards the Lord. Additional information about fasting in the Old Testament. Let's look at the purpose of fasting. Some fasting was a natural reaction to grief over the loss of a loved one, like we've already looked at with King David. But more often, fasting was done purposely to afflict the soul, as we've already looked at in Leviticus, or to chasten the soul, as we looked at in Psalm 69:10. The purpose of such affliction or chastening was to humble the soul, and not for any effect it might have on the body. Like I said earlier, it wasn't a weight loss program. It was a means so that we can really begin to align ourselves with God, because the blood goes to the stomach when we're eating. But think about it, when you're fasting, your mind is able to be clear and you're able to really focus in on what's going on. How is my relationship with the Lord? That was one of the things that my dad would always end on a phone call or even a letter I would get. He would say, "Son, how is your relationship with the Lord?" Because that was the most important thing out of anything that we talked about. He said, "How is your relationship with the Lord?" And I believe fasting is a way by which we can get to the point where we can be clear and not have anything distracting us, that we might be able to focus in on our relationship with the Lord. Because is that not the most important thing in the world? Our relationship with the Lord? And fasting, I believe, helps us get there. But I want to, throughout the next maybe two Sundays, talk about fasting. Talk about fasting, some of the reasons why people fast. I pray that this sermon has been encouraging to all of you, and we're not holding a congregational fast. I'm not suggesting that. We're talking more of personal fasting and times where you can set aside to fast by yourself. So I'm not calling for a congregational fast. That's not the whole purpose of this series of lessons that I'm going to bring about fasting, but just to educate you and remind you about fasting in the scriptures and how prayer and fasting can go together. If anybody has a need this morning, if you are not a child of God and you need to obey the gospel, or maybe you are a child of God and you need to ask for forgiveness or for prayers, or you have some other need, why don't you make it known as together we stand and sing the song that has been selected.